Welcome to the Mellow Mama podcast, where I talk all things conscious living and conscious, respectful parenting with the help of lots of great books, resources, and of course, my own experience as a mama. If you're new here, what's up? I'm Kate. I'm so thrilled to bring season two of the Mellow Mama podcast to all of you. Thank you so much for all of your support and encouragement with season one. And of course, all over my social media platforms, whether you're a YouTube subscriber or an Instagram or TikTok follower, I just really appreciate you. And I'm so grateful to have a community of like-minded people doing their best to show up as more conscious, aware individuals for themselves and for their children. It just seriously makes my heart grow a million times like the Grinch. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's dive into today's episode. This is season two, episode one. I wanted to start off with a big broad question that I get asked all the time, and it is, and I'm gonna quote this person, shout out to Gracing Land, who asked me this question on one of my reels. She said, "Babe, how are you so regulated yourself in a world of dysregulation, in an uncertain economic time, single parenting and supporting young kiddos? I find this is the biggest barrier to acting with integrity around all the wonderful tips and parenting advice you share. When I'm regulated, I completely get this, but I often feel like there's a yo-yo attached to my nervous system that makes me need to get locked back into that control mode." Such an amazing question. And again, thank you so much. I'm assuming her name is Grace. So thank you so much, Grace. And I have so many things to say about this that I was like, I don't want to just respond in real format or TikTok format. I want to bring it to the podcast so that I can have long form discussion. I want to talk first and foremost about this expression, there's this term, dysregulation or emotional regulation. What does it mean to be dysregulated? What is dysregulated, right? This is our nervous system saying, hey, you're not safe. No, it is not okay. We've got to be up and running, right? Like she said, I feel like I get locked into control mode, which is a coping mechanism. This is a response to fear. Needing control is the same as needing security. I am afraid of what's going to happen if I'm not in control. This is a result of a lack of a secure attachment and that feeling of safety and security combined with behaviorist conditioning in our own childhood and adolescent experience. When we are dysregulated, it really is just our body trying to get back to safety mode, trying to get back to this place where we feel that ultimate sense of security that we need to function at our best, to be like smooth sailing, right? So the real answer to that original question of how do you stay so regulated lies within the curiosity around getting dysregulated. I am no different than any other person, right? I have triggers. I have things that bug me. I have this desire to control and grip tightly to identifications and ideologies, just like every other person I've ever met. But the one thing that keeps me regulated, that allows me to comfortably navigate life and parenting in a more regulated state most of the time, is this deeper curiosity that I have around the moments that I'm not regulated, that I don't feel good, that I don't feel my best, that I don't feel this bursting intrinsic self-esteem and this like most radiant, confident version of me. The things that trip me up are the things that I get curious about, that I start to build awareness of. And therefore, I can be in a sort of solution-based mode pretty much all the time, where I can either prevent things from triggering me, bothering me, or I can make sure that my mindset is prepared to better understand my thoughts, habits, belief systems that are not serving me and definitely not serving my children. And of course, that original question mentioned some external factors, but I want to talk about things that are not the news sending you all sorts of scary messaging, right? The media coming at you and saying how terrible everything is and how awful people are and how scared you should be for your health, for your safety, for your children, and for everything. I want to get back to the intrinsic things that are affecting your ability to stay regulated in the first place, to that influence your level of susceptibility to those kind of extrinsic factors, those external, often fear-based things that are being shoved down our throat all the time, especially here in the United States, through the media, through social media, through just everyday conversation. I want to get back to the present, and I'm going to talk about that as this episode unfolds. But first and foremost, everything starts with you, your mindset, your attitude. My grandpa used to say, Katie, I know you're going to go far in life because you have a great attitude. And attitude defines altitude, how high you're going to fly, how high you're going to soar, and how good you're going to feel along the way. How grateful you are defines your life, is what he would tell me. And Grandpa Paul is a wise guy, and that was such a great pivotal thing to learn at the age. And it's what I'm going to tell you here and now as well. Figuring out why you react to life as opposed to being the actor in your life, responding to life and relationships around you, is what's going to help you move from being a reactor to an actor in your life, the person that's in charge, emotionally mature, and ready to take on and respond. Again, I like this word, respond to life, as opposed to react to it. When we become actors in our life as opposed to reactors, we are asking questions about ourselves, about others. We're curious about our own attachments to our ideologies, our belief systems, and our ideas, like this role that we are playing, and how attached are we to it? This concept of goodness and how attached are we to it, and what do we really know, and how do we know it? What do we think? Why do we think it? And we become comfortable asking ourselves these questions, these deeper questions, and getting curious, like, where is this pain coming from? What am I trying to protect myself from by getting defensive, by getting worked up, by treating little mundane interactions, whether they're with your children or with your spouse or with a stranger on the street or the internet, like some sort of critical emergency? What is actually happening within me? And I will tell you that 99% of these circumstances where you are feeling riled up to the point where your body is physically telling you danger, danger, right? Like the floor is lava song. I feel like we get these moments where we feel like our body needs to send us danger signals, like we're not safe. This is crazy. Well, this all stems from this lack of security, this lack of attachment that we experience in infancy, childhood, and adolescence, where behaviorist conditioning has taught us you have to perform for those things. You have to perform to be lovable, to be liked, to be worthy of connection, of seen, heard, valued, loved without conditions. That's not a thing that exists for you. And it's constantly being tested. And you have to, again, constantly like prove that to the people around you. And so people oftentimes find themselves attaching these ideas to themselves. I'm a good person because of X, Y, or Z. And I am good because I do this, or I perform in this way, or I'm successful, which makes me good because I have done X, Y, and Z. And like, we just create these lists. Like I have an episode all about the worthiness blueprint. So you can listen to that if you haven't, but we create these blueprints for us, and they are drawn out, rolled out for us when we are born with our parents who have them rolled out for them as well, right? And they're trying so desperately to live up to their little blueprint that their parents gave them and their parents gave those parents. It's just like an ongoing cycle. But when we live according to the blueprint and we believe like, okay, I've got to perform, it's very easy for our value to be threatened by like everyday little interactions with our children. We can blatantly disregard developmentally appropriate behavior in our children because we're trying to live up to the blueprint. We're just like not even in reality anymore. So much, in fact, that again, our body sends signals and says, fight, flight, freeze, fawn, you're not safe. And all that's happening is we are feeling insecure. We are feeling scared at the deepest level that we are not valuable, and therefore we are not worthy of connection. And without connection, we can't survive. This is a biological need in us from infancy. And it's a fear that we develop from infancy. We're born these vulnerable, fragile little beings that desperately yearn for and need connection for survival. And how do we get connection? Well, depending on the parenting philosophy that your parents adhere to, or in your case, right, your children, if you're a conscious parent, are getting the signals that they don't have to do anything to be worthy of your connection. They don't have to perform for it. They don't have to become something or do something. They deserve it because they were born and you're their parent, and they are valued and loved exactly as they are. And you're going to model this life that you think is so wonderful, right? And fulfilling and rewarding and special, but they don't have to do something in order to get that from you. This creates this wonderful, secure attachment that leads to confidence, intrinsic self-esteem, autonomy, independence. But what happened for you is a big indicator now when it comes to how you respond to life around you or how you're reacting to life and people around you. Every little experience that you can remember or that your body is remembering on a deep subconscious level that taught you that you have to perform or be or do something to be lovable or to be worthy of being seen and connected with makes up your ego, which is like your little protector. It's a phony, that guy, but he or she, you know, whatever you want to label your little protector as, your ego is looking out for you, trying to teach you like, okay, respond to life based on all of these lessons that you've learned. Okay. Like, okay, Kate, here's my ego talking, pulling out the filing cabinet, like SpongeBob in that one episode where like everything is on fire. If you've seen that, you know what I'm talking about. So like, I feel like in moments of tension or discomfort or disagreement with my partner or with anybody, right? Or even like when something comes up with my kids and they are behaving in a way that would have been unacceptable and definitely punishable in my own childhood experience, that ego's up there with the filing cabinet brushing through the files. And he's like, see this, remember this? When you were a kid, this is how that was met. Boom, slams the file down. It's like, that is not good. That makes you unlovable. That makes you spoiled, brat, like ungrateful, just awful. You need to be isolated, like go to your room, right? Like you start to be flooded subconsciously with the memories of what's lovable and what's not. And so we react in that way with all kinds of people and all kinds of scenarios. And all it is our ego looking out for us, trying to protect us from being unlovable again. Why? So we can survive. Because the more lovable we are, the more likely it is that we're going to get our needs met and be connected with and survive and hopefully thrive. But if you're able to look closely enough to come outside of your body a little bit in these moments of tension when they arise and tell yourself first and foremost, this is not an emergency, enough to where you actually understand that, you allow your body to calm down enough to then go back and say, what insecurity is this uprooting for me? Do I feel frustrated? Why? Why do I feel frustrated? Because I want someone to see my perspective, to understand me better, right? We start to be able to, through feelings being identified correctly, we can start to identify the needs that we need met to feel secure, to feel safe, to be in this regulated state where we can communicate clearly and openly and get into that responding, acting mode as opposed to reacting. Why do I feel what I feel? Again, this example of, I feel frustrated right now, right? I feel angry. Why do I feel angry? Because I need, insert unmet needs here, right? Or I have the expectation that my kids will be this way. Well, then you can start to unravel that even more and be like, well, what is developmentally appropriate for your children? Is your expectation just a premeditated resentment? Or is it something that actually makes sense? Is it rooted in the unrealistic expectations placed on you in your own childhood that were rooted in behaviorism and conditional love? Are you still performing for a parent on a subconscious level through your own children? Figure out what you're scared of. What is the real insecurity? And I love the anger iceberg analogy that I've shared on social media. It's in my coursework, where we can look at what we see on the surface as anger or frustration, right? And then we go below and it's just a plethora of other feelings that are being against by us that often have to do with fear, a lack of control, a lack of safety, a lack of security, a lack of worthiness. And once you can start to identify the root of those feelings, first of all, identifying those feelings accurately, correctly, and then getting to the root of where they come from, where they started for you in your life, in your relationships, then you can move forward and get into a sort of solution mode where you can start to, and this is a big part of the reparenting process, silence the inner critic. That inner critical parent that is often leading the way, like, with all of these awful statements that you're actually giving yourself in these difficult moments, right? For example, I always love to use myself as the example. Recording these podcast episodes for all of you can be so challenging sometimes. That's why vlogging is very challenging sometimes because, or even creating new content in general is so tricky because I want to be a present mom. I oftentimes don't have help to do these things. And then I get into the situation where I'll be like, okay, I'm going to get Roro down for a nap. And then I'll start recording a podcast episode. Oh my gosh, don't even get me started on what it's like to schedule it with a guest. So I'm like trying to coordinate things, right? Trying to make sure she's asleep. She's good. She's all snuggled in. She's got all of her needs met. Donovan's home, right? He's got his needs met. Boom, I can sit down to do this right on schedule, not be running behind or late or scrambled, everything prepared and ready to go. And then 10 minutes in, I hear Romy crying. Or Donovan needs something from me and it gets interrupted. And I could so easily get into a state of dysregulation, feeling deeply frustrated, and then just not know why, and then think, oh, it's because of my kids. It's because I'm a mom. This is so frustrating. Like, I wanna move my career forward. I wanna help all these parents. Like, I wanna do so many things. I have so many great ideas and I just can't execute that, right? Like, I could go into a spiral of blame, of shame, of criticism, of myself, of my family, my children, my decisions. Or I could look at the feeling and say, I feel really frustrated. That makes sense because I do have all these things that I want to do that bring me such joy and fulfillment and help so many people all around the world. But this is not a realistic expectation, Kate. And also, for what? You know, like, for what is the difference if you upload a podcast episode today or tomorrow or next week or next year? It will still have the same impact because it's coming from your heart. This is a conversation that I have to literally have with myself so that I don't spiral into all this like delusional, unhelpful, just lame thinking. Like, it's just downright goofy to start going down this spiral. And you can say this to yourself too, not to be critical, but to like make light of the situation. Like, what am I making such a big fuss over this for? What do I think that I'm like not as valuable as a person if I can't commit to one episode a week or two things a week or sharing this much content every week? Like, what on earth? Like, I am valuable just as I am. I am doing my very best and I'm a mommy and like my children need me. And that's my like greatest joy. I wouldn't trade it for any offer in the entire world. Like, so I guess stopping, like I said earlier, telling myself like, this is not an emergency. And why would I think it is? Where does that come from in me? Well, my whole childhood, I received love through performing, like being, creating things, doing things, getting great grades, being a great athlete, being good at everything. That's what I thought made me lovable. I didn't realize that my family just loved me anyway. Like, they would love me no matter what. But I felt like I got extra love. I got extra points for being good at all the things and doing all the things all the time. and just being like a superstar, a little performer child for my family, and not just my family, but like for teachers, for coaches. I wanted to impress everybody so that I could impress myself, so that I could prove to myself, like, you are lovable, like, you are good. And it's not like I had that kind of open conversation with myself like a wackadoo, but I did on a subconscious level, like, tell myself probably through these experiences, like, that's what makes you good. That's what makes you valuable, Kate. Just keep going. So the same thing happens to me today in my life. Well, while I try to pursue certain things as I go through the journey of motherhood and being a present conscious mother, I have the experience sometimes of being like, oh man, like, I'm super triggered, like, because I feel deeply frustrated, like, oh, like, I don't have the capacity to do all the things that I want to do. But why do I need to do them all right now? why who cares? What is the rush? Just like with our children, I say, what is the rush, Kate? It is all good. And that is the kind of conversation that I would encourage all of you to have with yourselves. Just to keep it light and frothy and relax. Like, why am I treating this like an emergency? Nobody is hurt. Nobody is in pain. No one is suffering. Why am I trying to do this? Like, figuring out just the basic awareness around what you think and feel and do. And why you think that way, why you feel that way, and why you do the things that you do in your everyday life. This is the epitome of a conscious person and figuring out your ego's role in all of that. And I can't wait for my episode on the ego. It's going to be so good. But anyway, moving forward. So if you are, this is a common expression that I hear from like a therapy point of view, but if you're looking back, right, all the time and not in like a healthy introspective way like this, like we're reflecting on our childhood so that we can better understand ourselves and function at a higher level in our present life. But if you're like constantly thinking about the past or like thinking about things that have happened, because that original question was like, what about the things going on in the world? What about the economy? Okay, if we're worrying about the future, that is anxiety. And if we're worrying about the past, things that have already happened that we cannot change, that is depression. Where we want to be is the present, right now. And one of the things I wanted to talk about without sounding like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs in this episode was that as people, it's really important to understand your power. And especially if you have a family unit, understanding the power and the influence that you have on your loved ones with your attitude, with your gratitude, with the way you show up with those things in your life and the way that that sort of like radiates outward and the light that you shine, it's important to understand how valuable you are as a person in your own right, but also if you have, again, like a family unit that you are guiding and leading. I think that it's really important to understand that you have power and that other powers that be don't profit off of people like that. They don't profit off of somebody who isn't quick to fear, quick to jump into fear mode and survival mode and believing anything that they read, anything that they hear, and just getting all worked up, right, into this frenzy, getting defensive, getting divisive. It's hard for, again, people, certain groups in quote-unquote power to control and manipulate and profit off of someone who asks questions before getting into that state, who is curious about themselves and other people on a deep, compassionate level. It's very hard to manipulate that kind of person because they just have a lot of questions and they want to get to the bottom of those questions. They just want an answer. And it's hard to be scared when you have knowledge on your side. The more you learn about life, about relationships, about your children, about yourself, about health, about the environment, like it gets increasingly difficult to be scared the more objective knowledge you acquire. So the basics of staying regulated, I think, lie in becoming the master of your own life, like understanding that you were born this empowered person, and that you have the ability to influence your family to be the same, the people that you love in your life to be the same, and to look at their life the same, like, hey, like this is my life, and I'm not going to outsource my joy and my peace to anyone, especially people, again, that profit off of you being unhealthy, unhappy, dissatisfied, constantly on the hamster wheel of life, of making money, and being scared of everything. Just again, like, wanted to throw that out there. But the key is to be in the present moment. It's all we have. And when we divert from that, we create suffering for ourselves and we miss the beautiful opportunity that is the present. So for 30 seconds before, I'm going to give like a little breakdown how to of how to stay regulated, like just some simple steps that I think you should take into consideration for your day to stay more regulated with your children, with yourself, whatever. I want you to just take 30 seconds, simply come back into your body the way that you were designed to be. If you're able to, like, go outside, put your feet on the grass, your bare feet on the grass, your booty on the ground, and just breathe. Like, don't think about anything. Don't think about how you're thinking about something. Don't label, like, oh, it's a beautiful day, or the beautiful grass. Look at this type of tree. Oh, look, that's an indigo bunting out there. What a beautiful bird. Like, just be for a second and just breathe for a second. We are not wired to be functioning at this, like, super duper high speed rate of life that's being advertised and sold to us daily through our phones, through the media, through this messaging. Like, we need more, we need bigger, we need better. And I'm so excited for you guys to hear my episode with Madison Gray all about slow living. But let's just take 30 seconds starting now. I'll start the clock. Wherever you're at, I want you to just exhale all of the gook in your body. Just get rid of it. Ready? Starting the timer now. You can wiggle your fingers and toes. Kind of like shimmy, shake your head. And just breathe in for four. Breathe in. And hold it there for one. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Exhale. And loosen up your jaw. You can rub your temples. Take another deep breath in. And just see how good that feels. And that was 30 seconds of your day. Come into that present state of being. Get out of fear mode. You don't need to be there. And if something is trying to influence you to be there, it is not your friend, okay? So start to pay attention to the way that people make you feel, the way that things make you feel, the way that things that you consume make you feel. And do something about it. Now for the fun part, the how-to. These are just my simple, I don't know how many I've got here, at least 10 ways to stay more regulated, to be that chill mom, that relaxed person that you're probably hoping to be more of. And before I dive in really quick, I just want to add that, like, the world needs all of the kinds of moms. If you are not, you know, naturally, like, down here chilling in this zone, that is okay. There's an element of this, like, obviously we want to be in a regulated state. You want to have peace. You want to be present. But that doesn't mean you need to play a role, okay? I don't want a bunch of phony baloney people out here pretending to be calm without actually assessing what they're really feeling and why. I don't want role playing, okay? We want authenticity, and that's what our children crave from us. Our partners crave that from us as well. So you don't have to be a certain type of thing. Like, get it out of your mind that you have to fit into a type of mold. The world needs all the kinds of moms to make all the different kinds of people. So here's just my little 10 ways to step into this like chill mode for yourself and for your families. The first thing I've already mentioned a couple times in this podcast, and that is curiosity. The key to peaceful days and moments in relationships is wonderment about the other. This is something I read in Harville Hendrick's book, Getting the Love You Want. I love that word, wonderment. Like, you wonder about them. You're curious about them. How, like, I feel like it makes me feel warm and fuzzy even just thinking about somebody, like, wondering about me. That deep curiosity about the other, about our children, about ourselves. Like, you know, just a deep sense of wonderment. Where there is like not a hint of criticism, judgment, or shame when there's wonderment. We're just trying to understand the other, know their story, know where they're coming from. And again, from a place of like complete love, how beautiful to be operating there with our children. When we're in a state of curiosity, that wonderment with our kids, it's very difficult to take their behavior personally. Because we're in a state of wonderment, right? We're like, where is that coming from? Like, where could that be stemming from? Where is this behavior coming from? And we can sort of drive ourselves a little bit crazy too as conscious parents and sometimes think, man, ignorance really surely is bliss, isn't it? Like, if I didn't know what I know, I might just ignore and blame my child and say they're bad and move on about my merry way. But instead, I have to know that they're in pain, that they're suffering a little bit, that they're having a hard time processing something or adjusting something. Dang it. I know firsthand, it's hard. But wow, the long term of the latter is so much harder on everyone. Just a reminder of that. But it's very difficult to take things personally when we're in a state of wonderment about the other, when we're trying to get to the bottom of it. And like I said, don't drive yourself crazy, because this can be triggering as well. You can get into such a state of wonderment that you feel guilt or shame about a circumstance that perhaps, like, you know, you're responsible for technically, that created some suffering for your children. I'm a perfect example of that as well. You know, my son has absolutely faced adversity due to my irresponsible decision making, and my inner critical parent loves to point that out to me, and it's painful. It is a hard thing to acknowledge, but just part of our life, our part of our dynamic. And processing it for me and understanding like why I've made decisions that I've made, and creating a more compassionate lens for myself allows me to again navigate the hard things that my son has to go through or my family has to go through in a much more regulated way. I can take it, you know, I can understand from a compassionate place where I don't need to feel defensive or deflective. I can just simply acknowledge the reality of the circumstance and my role in it, right? Which takes a lot of courage and vulnerability. So just a reminder that while there can be guilt and shame, you can transform that into strength, courage, vulnerability, and honesty and integrity. But of course, in your day-to-day life, simply acknowledging the perspective of your children and your spouse and the other people you have to interact with, right, to yourself and to them, can create so much clarity and compassion just by reassuring the other that they are seen, that they're heard, that they matter to you, which allows us to better understand each other's needs and actually have those needs met, which, you guessed it, leads to a lot more peaceful, regulated days. The second way to stay regulated, to get into this chill mom zone, is to surrender to your current season. You're probably like, oh yeah, Kate already shared an example of that, right? I'm in a current season of a baby that's not even a year old, a six-year-old, a changing family dynamic. And our children need us so much. If we aren't careful and we listen to modern conditioning that the world tries to place on us and our children, that parenting needs to be convenient and our child's development needs to be quick and cookie cutter, that our children shouldn't need us, we can quickly betray ourselves and our children by thinking of this mutual needing as a burden rather than a gift and an opportunity for growth and expansion, the most beautiful aspect of parenting itself. And these are lies. Again, I'm sounding kind of kooky, but I truly mean it when I say these are often from large industries looking to sell you things that will create so much disconnection in your relationship with your children, mistrust in your own God-given intuition as a parent, and frustration, discouragement in your day-to-day, and especially nights for parents of babies with your sweet children. So surrendering to your current season and surrendering to our biological design and needs is going to help you be more regulated as well. Getting you out of this weird, again, premeditated resentment state of like having crazy expectations that completely defy our design as people. That's going to be clutch in trying to stay more regulated as a parent, especially if you're in the baby stage. Number three is to eat within 30 minutes of waking up. And I know a lot of people are really big on the intermittent fasting, just fasting in general, or just saying like, Kate, seriously, I haven't even peed and I've met the needs of like four people. I don't know how I'm going to make a breakfast within 30 minutes. And I totally hear you. But the reasoning for this is that our nervous system and our hormones go hand in hand. And nourishment is key when it comes to balancing those things. Especially for women, it's vital to prioritize eating within 30 minutes of waking up to keep your body from resorting to running on stress hormones. And it doesn't have to be super elaborate, complicated cooking to fuel you. A fat, a protein, a healthy carb, and sometimes for me, this looks like a beef jerky stick, a hard-boiled egg, and some berries. And other times, if you follow me on Instagram, you know I love sharing my giant breakfast because I love breakfast. But sometimes it is like a giant, beautiful breakfast. But keeping it simple, real, free of yucky seed oils, added colors, flavors, sweeteners, and you will hands down notice a huge difference. I also recommend raw carrots, whether it's a raw carrot salad or just a straight up giant peeled raw carrot a day for mamas if you want something quick to strip some of that excess estrogen out of your body. Again, this is going to help you feel literally more emotionally regulated. Number four is to put your phone in a drawer on airplane mode. And I am all about being accessible to your husband or being able to like answer somebody that you love that, you know, is in close proximity to you or that you need to be in contact with. But we are accessible 100% of the time today, and it is just gross. There's nothing, in my opinion, unless, again, it's like an absolute emergency that requires the level of urgency that we are applying to our everyday life and interactions. People should not be able to contact you regarding work when it is not a specific time for you to be working. And if you have not established those kind of boundaries for yourself, for your family, for your business, or for your job, I think it's important to do so. If you are like, dang, there's not a time where I can put my phone away in a drawer, I think that that is a complication in your life, in your ability to find peace. I recommend doing this at the end of the day, like having a time with the people that you love in your life that you live with, saying, okay, after this certain time, like I want to be with you. I don't want to be on my phone. I don't want to be in la-la fake social media land. It's basically virtual reality, right? Like we're pretending to interact with people that we don't know on the internet, as opposed to people right in front of us, belly to belly, the way that we are designed to interact. So give yourself one solid frame of time to do certain tasks on your phone, even talking to friends. I like the Pomodoro method. I don't know if you've heard of it, but just setting 15-minute timers and giving certain tasks my full undivided attention. Even if like I need to take a break to go to the bathroom, I set a 5-minute timer that interrupts that 15-minute timer. I know this sounds crazy, but it is so effective. So I don't get distracted. I don't start doing other things. I don't dawdle. I don't scroll on my phone. I don't start answering emails or questions on social media. Like I do what I need to do for my break. I get a glass of water. I go to the bathroom. And then I come back, right, ready to go, be focused in, honed in on the exact same task. It's also been super helpful for if I'm in front of my children to let them know what it is that I'm doing. Like, what is my objective for being on my phone? That way, it's less likely that I get distracted and I stay on task. I also like the rule for me personally as a content creator to create before I consume. It holds me accountable for why I'm even on certain apps. And if you're somebody that's like, well, I'm definitely not some sort of like content creator person and I don't want to be, I just do genuinely like following certain people, I recommend being really intentional again about what you consume and why. How does it make you feel? Making sure that it's empowering, uplifting, and genuinely helping you, you know, like making your day better and leaving you inspired. I also really recommend having a time of day when your phone is off on airplane mode and just using a real alarm clock instead of grabbing your phone first thing in the morning to be sucked into it all over again. Investing in like a little $15 alarm clock from Target or Amazon could be such a nice game changer for you and your family if put into practice. For me, I did this for a while and then I slipped right back into the old routine of using my phone as my alarm and then being like, okay, I need to use it for like a guided meditation or music that I want to listen to while I pray or journal or whatever. And then I was like, ugh, I just don't even using my old phone with like nothing on it but some music or like the YouTube app so I could play certain videos. And that was also a really effective thing too. It's just about staying consistent with those practices. And it's something that I'm definitely guilty of too. So we will all work on it together. Number 5 is resting smile face and being playful. Check your general expression throughout the day. Thich Nhat Hanh, one of my favorite philosophers and teachers, says sometimes your joy can be the source of your smile, and sometimes your smile can be the source of your joy. It makes a huge difference to simply get rid of your RBF and replace it with RSF, resting smile face, or resting pleasant mama face, as I like to call it. Not to be confused with, again, being inauthentic or phony. If you're upset, be upset. That's okay. But on a normal basis, when you're feeling fine, a little soft smile can elevate an already okay mood to a peaceful one. Also, don't forget to play and be playful. It's good for your children and your inner child. Let go of that rigidity around parenthood and enjoy the shift in mood that comes with loosening up. Even when setting boundaries, doing so playfully makes a very big difference. And it's so much harder to stay in this like dysregulated state when you start being goofy with your kids. The original question, I remember she said, if she feels like she gets locked into this control mode when you're being playful. It'd be really hard to do unless you were being completely fake. Like, we're having fun, but I'm doing it in a manipulative way. Like, do what I'm telling you to do, right? As opposed to like, just getting into that playful zone with your kids. And sometimes I get feedback from parents that's like, okay, I'm tired of being playful. Like, I just do not have the energy. And I totally understand, you know, like we all are just like spread so thin. I feel like especially by the end of the day, I've received this feedback mostly pertaining to bedtime, bath time. And I'm sure we've all been there where we're just like at our wit's end and we're like, okay, I do not have the energy right now to come up with some sort of like game or way to make this playful. Kate, like give me a break. I'm exhausted. I'm annoyed, whatever. I think this is the time to ask yourself, is it really that serious? Is whatever it is that you're requesting or trying to get your child to do or is it really that serious? Like, again, is this an emergency? Is this going to completely derail your child's development to skip for a night or to just not do because you guys are both clearly dysregulated, clearly tired, overwhelmed, exhausted? I don't think so, you know? Like even growing up with warmly authoritarian behaviorist parents, there were nights that you just didn't have to do the routine. You know, there are days where you just don't do the routine. You just don't have to stick to the routine. And everybody turned out just fine. In fact, sometimes not doing the routine actually creates inner peace. Set down the expectations. Set down this like rigidity, this need, this tight grip on a sense of control. And you, ironically enough, give yourself back the actual control that you do have over your situation and your life and your inner peace. Number 6 is to clean as you go. Don't allow messes and clutter to accumulate. It will only make those tasks seem even more impossible and daunting with time. So wash a dish right after it's been used. Keep your counters cleared by storing things in cabinets. Have designated places for toys and everyday things that your children need so it's easy to tidy up. If it's overwhelming, assess what your children actually play with and donate the rest. Also, doing one load of laundry a day has saved me from my awful four loads in one day old habit. So if you're like me, just have a time of day where you're like, this is the laundry time and we're doing it. For me, it's like after like everybody's home and settled in, the washer is started. Like I have everybody take their clothes off, put them in the washer, start a load. And then Tommy and I typically fold it after the kids are asleep or in the morning. So that is just one little extra specific tip, but clean up as you go. And there is so much research about the impact of living in a clean, organized, tidy space for your mental health. So take that into consideration if you're someone that's like, I feel like I'm dysregulated all the time. Like I'm blowing up at my kids or my spouse. I'm yelling. I'm like frustrated. I'm annoyed with like everything. Look around right now if you're in your home and see if you can start decluttering, throwing stuff away, donating things, like get rid of stuff that you are not using on a routine basis that you truly don't need. It is so therapeutic. And again, so looking forward to everybody hearing Madison Gray's episode with me about slow living and a more minimalistic lifestyle. But it is so pivotal for you and for your peace. So if you're looking to be more regulated, clean as you go and keep your space minimal, organized, and tidy. And speaking of your space and looking around right now at some things that you could adjust to feel better, nature and natural light are my number 7. Opening up your blinds all the way. Open your curtains. Turn off the yellow, unnatural lights in your home and get outside barefoot whenever you can. Even in the winter months, find as much time as you can to be in a local park, a metro park, a forest. It goes against our biology to sit inside of our little boxes, in front of our little light-up boxes for months and months. If you want to feel good, nature is the first place that I always turn to and that I recommend you turn to as well. And the same thing goes for your children. All of these same things apply, surprise, to your kids and to the other people in your life that you're like, they are dysregulated. Like, what is going on? All of these same things matter for them as well and their mental health and well-being. Get them outside, get them in nature, get them rooted back in the, again, the places and environments that help us to thrive on a scientific level. Number 8 is to move your body. Go for that hot girl walk with your baby bundled up or strapped to your chest. Utilize a gym childcare program that you trust for 40 minutes. You know, do a YouTube Pilates video, even if you get crawled on and you have to stop 10 minutes in. Dance in your kitchen. Do 10 squats when you're loading the dryer like I do. Emotion is created by motion. This is something that Tony Robbins says that I always say. So force yourself to get active however you can and focus on how it makes you feel, how it improves your confidence, your ability to get into that playful, relaxed state. And if you really struggle with this, ask a friend to be your workout or walk buddy or find a local class. A lot of stores even have free yoga or Pilates once a week if you look. Like when I worked at Lululemon in college, there was weekly a free class. I'm pretty sure Athleta has them too. Get resourceful, ask for help or allow someone to help you so that you can move your body for 30 minutes a day. Again, walking being my number one suggestion, but if you are in Columbus, Ohio, please reach out and come to dance class with me. I'm not really joking, but seriously, move your body for 30 minutes a day and notice that you're not doing it for aesthetics, but you're doing it for your mental health and your ability to stay regulated throughout the day with your kids. All right, number 9, nurture your mindset. Read, watch, and listen to empowering content, things that remind you of your worth, the beautiful gifts that you have to offer. I hope that my podcast is something like that for you. But when I listen to encouraging podcasts or YouTube lectures and read all the books that I suggest here on all my profiles or platforms, whatever I call them, I consistently feel great throughout my day. It is so much harder, again, to get me into this like hostile mode when I have been pumping myself full of positive, uplifting material. So be intentional about these for like 30 days. I promise it will transform your mindset and possibly your life. Not to mention, I think it's an amazing thing for your children to see modeled and to hear themselves. Like, I love listening. I mentioned Tony Robbins, so I'll use him as the example, but listening to like a Tony Robbins audiobook, even if it's about like finance or something, I just think is so cool for my son to be just silently digesting in the backseat of my car, right? Or any of the work that I love where it is uplifting and empowering and talking about the power of a positive mindset and the power of you and the power of the family. And I just think that it's a beautiful thing for your children to be exposed to as well, as opposed to just like whatever's on the radio or whatever's on Apple Music or Spotify with who knows what messaging and who knows what vibrational frequencies, right? Like, I think it's important to model even like these little moments of what do I consume and why do I consume it? Like, setting that tone for our children and letting them consume it along with us if it's appropriate. Again, I really hope my podcast is one of those opportunities for you. I think it's so awesome. So yeah, be intentional about that. Also, remember that you're not your thoughts. You are the one thinking them. I originally read this as a quote from Eckhart Tolle, one of my favorite authors, and it's important truly to not confuse the two. And it's so easy to do that. Most of the thoughts we have in a day are negative and redundant and stem from our own inner critic or critical parent. And reparenting is an important aspect of unlearning that voice as the truth and being able to sort of rewrite the script that you hear on a daily basis within yourself. All right, that brings me to my last little piece of advice. Number 10 is wake up before your family. And yes, I know, this one is particularly triggering to a lot of people. And if that's you, I want you to start asking those questions that I've been suggesting to ask when you're feeling dysregulated from the beginning of this episode. Is this an emergency, right? Like, why are we riled up? Why do we think that this says something about you or implies something about your ability to mother, to parent, to run a household? Because if you're thinking that it does, that's not true, okay? This is an incorrect thought coming from probably an inner critic that lives rent-free in your mind, just being a jerk to you for no reason at all. That's gonna skew perceptions of things to make them about yourself. It's the ego hard at work. Like, ooh, I'm gonna protect you even though you need no protecting. This is simply something that doesn't even always apply to me, that I don't always practice, but that has helped me when I do practice it. When I wake up before my kids, my world of difference, okay? I'm talking like, I feel like I have conquered all. I am like, wow, I'm dressed. My hair is done. I'm making breakfast. My children are in bed, like they're in their beds. This is amazing. Like, I'm my own person. Like, I get a moment to myself. I've peed with no one looking at me. Like, how incredible of an opportunity. And like, oh my gosh, to be able to pray, to be able to like journal, to be able to like plan out my day, to just like get a grip on the day of life, to say thank you, God, for another day, like to take it a step further and be able to like ground outside, get exposure to the sun first thing in the morning. Like, all these amazing things can happen if you have the opportunity to wake up before your kids. But guess what? I have also been in a phase of life, in a season of life, where I cannot do that all the time. Like, it is literally not feasible for my health. I prioritize rest for my body, especially as a woman, like for just hormonal reasons. Like, I need to prioritize proper rest for my body. And I didn't used to do that. And my body was running on stress hormones all the time when I had my son Donovan. I was like, it's cool that I wake up twice a night. I'm going to work out at 5:30 in the morning. Like, no, man. I mean, it's fine. I everybody's okay. But this time around, I was like, no, Scott, I'm going to sleep and I will wake up in a chaos state with my children and everything is just going to be dandy. It's going to be fine. That being said, though, things are much more dandy when I have the ability, I have the capability to wake up before my children are awake, even if I'm telling you, even if it's 15 minutes before, so that I just have a moment for myself, to just, you know, process the day, to say thank you for the day, to even just get dressed so that I'm not trying to get dressed with my baby like reaching at my legs, crying, trying to like, you know, put on mascara with her like ripping everything out of my makeup bag. You know, like there are just things that are inevitably going to lead you to feeling dysregulated. And that chaos mode of the morning where you are technically now trying to meet everybody else's needs, but you have to meet your own to even get started, or you have to neglect all of your needs to just meet everybody else's needs, and then you feel all scrubbish and not ready. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm in a drop-off line, and I don't even think I brushed my teeth. Like, have I seen people? People have seen me in this state. And like, yeah, that's fine. Like, it's okay, but what makes you feel like you're thriving? What makes you feel like you're your best self, that makes you feel like you are a shining star, okay? That is what we want as moms. We want this so that our children can see this. So, of course, if we can get up before them and if you can start making it a habit, I personally think it can be extremely pivotal for your general state throughout the day. I have found that it makes a very big difference. And if you're in a season where this is just not a tangible thing, do not sweat it and don't get triggered by me saying it's a good idea, because it's obviously a good idea. You know, like clearly, it's just an objective fact. Like if you have time and opportunity to get up before your kids, or if your kids are really, really early risers, because there's always people that, well, my kids get up at the crack of dawn. How dare you say that? I'm like, okay, hold on. Like, obviously, what is it called? Chew up the meat and spit out the bones. This is a disgusting analogy. I really don't like it for some reason. Just the thought of chewing and spitting out things. I have a problem with mouth sounds anyway. I don't know. I don't know why I use that analogy. But you know what I'm saying? Like, if something doesn't apply to you, don't take it personally. And if you do take it personally, ask yourself, what is my ego trying to protect me from? Is my ego interpreting that as me being a bad mom? I'm not a bad mom. What the heck? Like, why would I interpret it that way? I'm an amazing mom. Just can't wake up early right now. Or my kid wakes up super early and maybe I'm kind of frustrated about that because it's kind of hard. Maybe I need to do something at nighttime, but I'm exhausted at nighttime. That's frustrating too. Well, there we go on to step two, the acknowledge the season of life you're in one. That's where you need to go, okay? Acknowledge the season of life you're in. Normalize the developmentally appropriate things going on in your life, in your children's life and development. Like, everything is going to be okay. And there's going to be a season where 100% you can say, it's time for me to wake up, baby. And you're waking up before your kids and feeling amazing. But right now, soak in feeling amazing in whatever season you're in. That's what I've been doing. And I personally recommend it. But I do say, personally, that it has been more chaotic than I would actually really enjoy. And you might have seen that in the vlogs that I did share on YouTube, where I was like, okay, we are like eating so fast, like, I just hate that. And that, like, literally leads to being in a dysregulated, heightened state of stress and chaos. And if you can nip any of that in the bud, recommend it. So that's it, you know, for this episode. I truly hope it was helpful for you. I hope that it was uplifting for you. I hope that it helped you remind yourself of your own capabilities to hold the power in your hands for the great opportunity that is your day-to-day life, you know, to start thriving and being fulfilled even as a parent with all of its ups and downs and challenges and, you know, things that make it harder to get your needs met, harder to understand the needs of your children and your spouse and everybody. I just think that everybody's just doing such an amazing job, and I hope that all of these things I've talked about today will help ease the pain of some of those more challenging aspects of being a parent and being a person. And if they do bless your life in that way, seriously, please let me know. Share this episode. Talk about the podcast with people that you love that you think it would help too. And come back next week for a new episode on Thursday. I'm so grateful for all of you. If you want to take it a step further and deepen your experience as a conscious person and parent, check out my online course at www.themellowmama.org. It's a perfect streamlined resource for anybody that's like, okay, I know what I want as a parent, but there is just so much out there, so many people talking about so many different things. I like your voice, Kay. Like, I like the way you present this information. seriously, check out my course. There's going to be so many awesome updates to it soon, and it's just an amazing resource for you, for your family, that you can have now and forever ever. So check that out at themellowmama.org. Follow me on Instagram at themellowmama. TikTok is themellowmama_. Of course, do whatever you do with podcasts. I think, I don't know if it's subscribe. I think you just like hit that little check mark or subscribe to it, whatever it's called. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, The Mellow Mama. And I will see you guys on the next episode. Thank you again. Have an awesome, awesome day.